In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is never shopping.
The rains of the last 2 weeks were certainly for our drought-stricken state of California. And I, myself, like the change of pace, having some of the rain that we have had over the course of the last few weeks. However, after 10 straight days of rain, I must admit I was getting a little tired of it. Even though the state needed it, I was feeling a little stir-crazy. And so earlier this week, when a break in the weather finally came, I decided no matter what, I was going to go out and I was going to have a ride on a trail that's near my house that I ride on. And so I took my mountain bike on the trail, knowing that it would be mucky conditions, it would be muddy and wet and probably a little uncomfortable. So I bundled up and decided I was just going to do it just for the sake of getting outside. And as I was riding in those wet conditions, I was taken back to an experience of my childhood and reminded how much I used to love riding my bike in the rain when I was a kid. I loved to ride through puddles and to splash around in the mud and slip and slide in the mud. And if you crashed, that was all the more fun. If you crashed in the puddle or the mud, it was all great fun to me. My mom didn't exactly think so when she did the laundry, of course, but I thought it was fun as a kid. But earlier this week, as I was reminded of that experience of my childhood, I was keenly aware how my perspective had drastically changed from there to where I am today. Because I did the ride because I did it for exercise and to be outside, but it really was not nearly as much fun as it was when I was a kid. After a couple of puddles that I went through had gotten me wet, I grew cold rather quickly, and it was very uncomfortable. And mud flinging up into my face wasn't any more pleasant. And riding uphill, the conditions were, because of the relentless rain, riding uphill on a trail that I often ride up was not very easy to do because my back tire kept slipping. It had no grip. It had no traction on this wet trail. And so I was constantly slipping out and stepping off the bike and trying again. And I got to admit, it wasn't very much fun. It was just a lot of work. And today in the gospel text, we are reminded of a young man who was stuck in the mud of a pig pen. The prodigal son who had lost everything and eventually made his way to a distant country and made his home in a pig pen. And here he is tending pigs, not exactly what a pious Jewish family of the first century would hope for their child. Here he is feeding pigs. And the statement is made in the parable that the food of the pigs looked good to him. I don't know how many of you have been around pigs, had the opportunity to see what pigs eat or witness pigs when they eat. When I was growing up, one of my friends in the neighborhood, their family raised horses and they raised pigs. And so one of his chores was to feed the animals. And so many times I would be at his house where it was time for him to do this, and I got to witness the feeding of the pigs. And I must say, it never once crossed my mind how appetizing it was to see what pigs eat. It was quite the opposite. It's very unappetizing when you see the food that they eat, what they're willing to eat, because they'll eat just about anything. And to actually witness a pig eat, it's kind of gross and disgusting. There's no other way to say it. So it's an important fact to zero in on, and the fact that Jesus tells this story, and he tells how the prodigal looked at their food and found it appetizing. There's a strong statement that's being made there. Either this young man had lived in deprivation for so long that he was so hungry that any kind of food, no matter how disgusting, was appealing to him, or he had grown so accustomed to the atmosphere of the pig pen that even the food of the pigs appeared normal and appetizing to them. I'm sure many of you have heard many times Father Hopko has used this very parable as an illustration of our broken and sinful worldview. How we, like the prodigal, have strayed far from that place that we belong before our Heavenly Father. And we become stuck in our sinful lifestyles and in our sinful mindsets and perspectives. And we get stuck in our own kinds of pig pens, so to speak. And being stuck in that pig pen, it alters our perception and our perspective. And the pig pen starts to seem normal to us. We can't see beyond the pig pen. Our horizon line of our what we're able to see is becomes more and more limited to the point that it's the enclosure itself, the fence of the enclosure of the pig pen. We can't see beyond it. We can't imagine life outside the pig pen. And instead of trying to leave the pig pen, we decide that we will cope with it and we will try to make the pig pen as comfortable as possible. I think the point is well made, and it is an illustration of our life as human beings as we set apart from God and try to make the best of it. And the saddest part of all of that is that we become stuck in the mud of the pig pen, not because there is no way out. Because all the while, there is a way out. The reason we become stuck in the pig pen is because we entirely lose our perspective. We can no longer see and perceive that there is indeed a way out. We can't imagine that there's life outside of the pig pen. We might imagine other pig pens elsewhere, but we don't imagine that human beings actually live in a different state, in a different place than the pig pen. It's beyond our horizon line. And we can't see that far, and we can't imagine a world that exists that is like that. But what we must understand is that the journey of repentance leads us to a change of perspective. Repentance reveals how we have been viewing our life through a broken and sinful lens. And we're not seeing things accurately. What we're seeing is not normal. You see, repentance opens up the horizon so we can see a new world exists that's beyond what we thought existed. Repentance shows us that there is indeed life outside of the pig pen. Repentance shows us a reality, a world that was entirely off our radar screen. And that world, of course, is that world of the reality of the kingdom of God, a place where what is impossible with man is possible with God, a place where human beings do not live in muddy pig pens, but they live in homes. A place where the food of pigs is far from appealing. A place where we can live up to the heights of our human potential, our God-given potential. The pig pen had become normal to the prodigal son. And often it is the case in our lives that the ruts that we fall into become normal for us and we cannot see beyond them. But something significant happened in the life of the prodigal. He remembered his father. He remembered how even his father's servants were treated, was being treated there in that pig pen. It was an aha moment where he came to his senses, and it was an epiphany of sorts, and he determined that he would make that journey back home. That is ultimately what this Sunday is all about. It's why it's on the calendar as we approach Great Lent. It's supposed to be this experience for all of us. It's a wake-up call. It's a reminder that we have probably been living in a way that we think is normal, and we need to wake up and recognize it's not normal. That there is a life outside of the rut that we are in, a life outside of the pig pen that we have called home. It's a reminder that the perspective of the pig pen is always a broken one. It's not okay. It's not normal. It's a reminder that our home is outside the pig pen, back to that home with our Heavenly Father. And we come to this Sunday and we hear this parable to help facilitate that aha moment for each one of us. We need to make our way out of the pig pens that we have found ourselves in. We need to make our way back home to the Heavenly Father. The path of repentance is that way back. It's the way out of the pig pen and it's the way into the kingdom of God. The path of repentance is the way, but the path of repentance involves effort on our part. The way out of the pig pen is never easy. It's dirty, it's muddy, it's messy. It involves efforts. And often our efforts feel thwarted, similar to that bike ride I had earlier this week. It's a long haul uphill, it's muddy, we start climbing out, only to feel that our back tire keeps slipping out from under us. And we're not gaining any ground, it's just difficult, a lot of work. It's not fun, it's just a lot of work. But what we must understand today as we approach Great Lent is it is work that is well worth the effort. Because if we make that effort, the path indeed leads us out of our ruts. It leads us out of the pig pen. It's worth it because we are led back to our Heavenly Father. And the world of possibility, the world of the kingdom of God, opens up to us once again. And instead of living far beneath what we should be living as pigs, we can live up to our God-given potential. The season of Great Lent is before us, and it is indeed a long journey of repentance. It's a journey of repentance that involves effort on our part. There are things that we need to do. It's a season that we're called to fast, and we all need to take this upon ourselves. There is no exception. The call for Orthodox Christians is to fast. We don't all fast at the same levels, but we all must embark upon fasting. We must make the effort of fasting. And if we're not feeling it, then we're probably not making an effort enough. We all have to embrace the acts of almsgiving, despite the fact that we're in an economy that's less than perfect, despite the fact that some of us might, we cannot turn our backs or turn a blind eye to those who are in need. We have to recognize the call of almsgiving as well. And we certainly have to recognize the call to prayer. And we have to make the effort for our prayers to be intensified, increased in some cases. Certainly there are contexts of the Lenten services that we can attend that are a corporate act of prayer and repentance. And all of these things do not come to us to be a heavy burden that is laid upon our back that makes it so unbearable to get through the season of Great Lent. All of these things are here and available to us to help us on this journey of repentance. Each one of these things facilitates an effort on our part to make the change, to lead us out of the pig pen and back home to our Heavenly Father where we belong. The beautiful thing about the Lenten journey is it is a journey we make together. The prodigal son had to make the journey back home alone. But when we come to Great Lent, we make a corporate journey of repentance. We do this together, and thereby we find strength and encouragement from one another. The journey of Great Lent is not easy, but it is a journey that is worth making an effort. It is a journey that leads us out of the pig pen. And if we make that effort, our perspective is changed. We recognize there is indeed life outside of the limited world I've been living in. If we make that effort, we are led back to the kingdom of God, to the fullness of the kingdom. We are led back to our Heavenly Father. And we are led back to a life that we thought was impossible. That life now becomes possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.